Up next, we are speaking to Kashif Schroeder, co-founder and director of Container Intermodal Training. We're talking about the fact that the shipping container industry in South Africa has become a target of shipping container fraud. It's estimated that approximately 250,000 to 300,000 rands per day is lost to shipping container fraud scams in South Africa. That's per day. 250 to 300,000 per day. I mean, this is lost revenue which could have gone back into the economy and gone some ways towards creating employment as well. So let's chat to Kashif and see what can be done about this issue. Good morning.
Good morning, Anne. How are you?
I'm not too bad. And you certainly sound very cheerful at this time of the morning.
I'll drink a coffee later and I'm...
You're good to go. I certainly know how that one works.
Oh, yeah, right. Okay.
So tell us a bit about this. I mean, this sounds really serious. 250 to 300,000 a day. I mean, that's how many million a month?
It's becoming a problem, Anne. And if you look at it in context, for example, the cost of a used 12-meter refrigerator container will set you back anything between 90 to maybe 120,000 rand. That's just one 12-meter refrigerator container.
Wow.
For one customer. Mm. So the value of the shipping containers, in previous years, it was just a by-the-way thing, but it's really becoming a trading commodity. And it's a commodity that's growing in value simply because the price of steel is going up all the time. So when the price of steel goes up, production price goes up, containers become more expensive and more in demand.
So now where are people being lured in?
I think simply, and the people are being enticed by good deals. Everybody wants the deal of a lifetime. Everybody wants that, you know. I found the best thing since sliced cheese.
The bargain. The bargain of the century.
Absolutely. Mm. So, over the last few years, we found that shipping containers have become very appealing to the man on the street and even to consumers, whether it's from building a container home to building maybe a cafe or to maybe a little coffee shop kind of thing. Shipping containers have become very trendy. Mm. So, people are thinking, you know what, we can actually, instead of contracting a boulder, we can do this ourselves. But what do we need? We need a shipping container, first of all. So what they start doing, the consumer will start looking on the internet and they will start looking around what the pricing should be. In the good old days when I started off, you know, we had the Yellow Pages and all the reputable guys would have the little spread in the Yellow Pages, and then you'd know this is a reputable company. They would have a landline number, they would have a physical address, they would have a domain, they would have contact details. But now everything is online. I mean, what do we do first of all? We go on to Google. We start searching. Container sales, container for sales in Cape Town. And with technology opening up the door for a lot of people, good and bad, scammers are seeing an opportunity. It's not that difficult now in today's age and to register a domain, to create a website, and to even get some sort of AdWords going so you can rank high up. And consumers, not knowing any better, would look onto the websites and say, you know what, this guy's ranking high on Google. They must be a legitimate company. Let's engage with him. And that's how it all starts.
Mm-hmm. So if someone is looking at a website, you know, are there clues on the website that would help you to determine that these guys are kind of shysters, or there's no way of knowing just from looking at the site?
Well, look, of late, we've obviously known that digital certificates have become an internet nowadays. So more of the reputable guys would have obviously the HTTPS, which would mean they've got a digital certificate.
Mm-hmm.
And that basically points in the direction that it's a legitimate guy. Another telltale tell as well is that the guys would usually clone websites. And you will find they will take a website that is maybe registered in the US or in the UK, and they'll basically just clone the content over. You know, so those are things that we would kind of look for. For example, we would in South Africa not use the word freight container; we would use shipping container, and those sort of buzzwords and stuff like that would not be common in South Africa. And that is usually characteristics of when a scammer would be cloning a website over to make it legitimate.
So now, early on, you said the prices are about 90,000 rand for a container.
That would be for a refrigerated, used refrigerated container, correct, Sam?
Mm-hmm. So now, what price is a bargain and what price is a, you know, that's a dodgy price?
I would always say, you know, for a consumer out there, do your research. Ask questions. Find out who is selling and what they are selling at. You know, I mean, find out there at least three different people, five, or at least five people if you've got the time. I mean, the market price is the market price. You will find that usually the traders or the people selling containers would have an average price. Sometimes there will be a difference, maybe 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 kind of thing. But once you find a container, for example, like I've quoted maybe 95,000, and you're getting a container at 40,000 or 30,000 for the refrigerated container, something must look fishy. Something just should not be right over there.
Okay, so that's definitely, it's too low. When it's that low, you know there's a problem with it.
There's a problem with it. And people are always, and we see this every day, unfortunately, and, you know, we preach this over and over, but people feel, you know, that they found the deal of lifetime, and whatever advice we would give them, sometimes it's not being adhered to because they know better. So.
Yeah. No, I hear what you're saying, you know, because people, for some people, it's like, it's like a challenge. It's like a challenge to get it at the best possible price.
Yeah. The reality that the people in the container industry have been doing this for a very long time. They all probably know each other. So, you know, the reality is that the pricing will always never be out of kilter, kind of thing.
But it's also interesting what you're saying, because you're saying the people in the industry have been around for a while and they all probably know each other. So that makes me think that a good thing to do is, if you see this bargain, ask around. You know, ask somebody else if they've heard of this company. You know, even if you just phone up and say, listen, what are the prices of your used containers? Because I see so-and-so is offering at price point X, Y, and Z. At which point the other guys, the legitimate guys, would probably say, well, we've never heard of that company. If you want to make a proper comparison, rather try, you know, so-and-so and so-and-so, which would be, you know, one way to kind of go about it.
Absolutely. You know, a lot of the guys in the industry are fairly nice guys. You know, for example, if we are unable to supply a container, we will gladly recommend you to another reputable trader. For us, it's important to know that the customer is eventually sorted out. So whether we're selling the container to the customer or we're able to recommend them to another reputable dealer, we're happy. So I think, like you're saying, 100% correct. Ask around, and if that customer or that trader is unable to supply with what you want, find out is there an alternative that they can recommend.
As you also recommend that if the only contact number is a cell phone number, tread cautiously.
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, look, most of the reputable traders in South Africa would have offices. They would basically have landline numbers. So what these forces are doing, they get pay-as-you-go cell phone numbers. They would put the numbers up on the website. That would catch somebody, discard the system card, put a number up, another number up on the website, and you're never going to catch these guys again because they're never going to answer the phone. You are never going to be able to reach them because besides the cell phones, they would usually be landing on like dodgy Gmail accounts or webmail accounts and stuff like that. And to be able to trace them down, you need to be able to link it up to the IP address. And from previous history and previous experience, we find that these IP addresses usually trace back to an internet cafe. And so therefore, finding these guys is going to be notoriously difficult.
So you also say that if you're buying a container, you need to ask for proof of ownership.
Yeah.
Because that would not have occurred to me. And I was thinking maybe that would just not have occurred to me because I'm not part of the industry. But it would not have occurred to me because, I mean, it's a container. It's not a car. Sorry.
Ironically, each and every container is fitted with something called a CEC plate. And a CEC plate is like the license disc of a vehicle, a motor vehicle, the exact same with a shipping container.
Now I've learned something.
Yeah. So a shipping container, having a CEC plate will have all the owner's information on there. Now, when a used container is retired, for example, from a shipping line or from a container leasing company, the traders would go and they would buy all these containers. They would usually bid for them and they'll buy these containers. So ownership gets transferred from the shipping line or the leasing company to the traders. Now, when we get ownership of the container, we would usually get a bill of sale from the shipping line or from the leasing company that we keep with us and say, you know what, Mr. Maersk has sold these containers over to CIT and they are now the legal owners of these containers, which our customers can ask for. They can ask us, you know, can you give us proof that you are the owners of the containers? And we've got that. But if the guy you're buying a container is hesitant and he doesn't want to show you that sort of information, it should automatically raise red flags.
Then you also say that 99% of the time containers are stored at a depot.
Yeah.
So that is a huge, huge red flag if it's not at a depot.
Well, sometimes, you know, certain of the larger traders would have their own container yards. But, for example, if a smaller trader would keep his containers in a nominated empty container yard,
mm-hmm.
you can go to those container yards and actually view the containers yourself.
Right.
But you need to be able to view the container, write down the specific container number, and then ask a certain questions, like I mentioned earlier. Ask about ownership.
Mm-hmm.
Ask to meet the person that is selling the container to you. Try to put a face to the voice. If you're doing business over a cell phone or just via email, I would not recommend that. Meet the person and see who you're going to part your hard-earned money with and stuff like that. So come to the depots, meet the person, have a look at the containers, and write down the container numbers and ask the people in the depots, do you know this person? Have you ever dealt with these people before already? Have you seen them around here? Can you recommend them or vet that they are a reputable container trader? Because the guys in the depots are generally nice people as well. They don't mind talking and they don't mind giving advice.
So you also say when you are paying for your container, you should be depositing money into a business account. Now, that just seems kind of like logical, common sense to me.
Well, I think for us, yes. But, you know, the sad reality about this, Anne, is that these fraudsters, they target the elderly. And something, the elderly people don't look at certain information. They would say, here's an invoice, there's bank details on there, but they don't ask, whose bank details are these things? And we say, you know what, if you're about to part with your hard-earned money, ask for a bank verification letter. Make sure that this account details that is on this invoice is actually linked to an active bank account and not to an individual or some sort of dodgy intermediary account or something like that.
And then you say also ask if the container is customs cleared.
Yeah, what happens is that in South Africa, most used containers, because they've come into the country with cargo, the cargo is destuffed and the containers are then sold off because either of his age or it's of his condition. It's the duty of the container trader or the container broker to domesticate the container, meaning that we've got to report this container, being in South Africa, to SARS, has now been retired from shipping use and is now going to be used locally. So we've got to pay over to SARS the import VAT on that container because SARS deems the trader now to be the importer. So therefore, once you do that sort of documentation submitted to SARS, SARS will issue you with something called the SAD 500. And once that is paid, they will issue you with a SARS customs release. And that usually goes with your invoicing, your payments in your file. And that is something that the buyer has full right to ask for. Can I have a look at the SAD 500? Has this container been SARS customs cleared? Because if it has not been customs cleared, SARS has every right to take that container and say, what? And you bought this container, but according to our records, this container has not been customs cleared. The VAT has not been declared. You now are deemed to be the importer. Now you've got to pay the VAT on that kind of thing. And then it becomes a messy exercise.
Okay, so what you're saying is ask that question and ask to see that paperwork before your money changes hands.
Absolutely, because, you know, once again, it's just making sure that the container and the process that the container has been followed from the seller into the trader and into your hands has actually been vetted and everything, all the documentation and all the VAT and all the customs duties and stuff have been paid on that particular container.
Mm-hmm. So from a legal and I guess, judicial, I suppose is the word, perspective, who deals with this kind of fraud? Is there a police branch that deals with it?
Sadly, the industry for a very long time has been unregulated. And you know, of late, we've sort of started putting our heads together and say, how do we police this kind of thing? And we've come up with something called a container fraud forum kind of thing. So there's an online website that we've listed now all the registered container traders in South Africa. And these guys are now saying, you know what, we've got a list of vetted traders. These people have been scrutinized. They meet the criteria, and we give them the rubber stamp. So buyers of containers can go onto those websites and actually have a look at the list of container traders and say, you know what, okay, cool, I want to deal with this one, I deal with that one. This one has been reported as being dodgy. We're not going to deal with that one. So there is something now that we are trying to do. And, you know, we've created this little website, and the domain is a very simple website, believe it or not. It's just called www.containerfraud.co.za. So it's very easy to find, and we urge buyers to go onto there and have a look at it.
But now this website, is it linked to the police, or it's just kind of what we'd call a support network tool?
No, it's not linked to the police in any way. It's just the people in the industry sharing these stories and actually trying to regulate a market that is very open at the moment.
Okay, so it's like a support network where you can get information and assistance with issues relating to container fraud.
That's correct, yes.
And, you know, support networks can be very, very useful. So I want to ask, how long has it been in operation, this website?
To my knowledge, it's been around for about just over 2 years. The website's been up for 2 years, yeah.
And has it, you know, what are the success stories of the website?
Well, I think up to date, we've almost had about close to a dozen of container reported scams that have been running, and there is always new ones coming. And so just to be able to keep up is actually quite a daunting task in South Africa, because there's got to be an administrator that's got to investigate all the reported scams, then they've got to list it, and then they've got to report it, and then they've got to publish it to everybody so that everybody knows it. So it's quite a tedious little task, you know.
Okay. So basically then what it does is it uncovers the actual scammers.
That is correct, yes.
Does it help people get their money back, though?
And to be honest with you, we were victims of container fraud about 9 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And to be honest with you, we've not seen a blue dime come back yet. And we were probably in the hole for about 75,000 rand.
Good heavens.
So it's reality. Mm-hmm, so mm-hmm. What I'm promoting here, I know what I'm talking about because we've been through it.
Mm-hmm. So it just seems to me, though, that the thing that I'm curious about is if you guys can uncover the scammers, you know, and you prove that they've sold something fraudulently, then surely there's some legal recourse where these guys can, you know, be held accountable, can be made to give back at least some of the money.
Well, going back to our case.
Mm-hmm.
I remember visiting the warrant officer when we reported our fraud, and sitting in front of his desk, and I literally could not see him behind the desk because of folders on his desk that was probably as high as his head. And those folders ranged from violent crimes to murder and robbery. And I remember asking him, what are we going to do about it? And the first thing he asked me was, do you have insurance? And I said, no, we don't have insurance against shipping containers because it's fraud. And he just told me, that just doesn't take priority. So I could probably understand his pains because he wanted to help us, but with the resources that is lacking in the SSD,
that
does not rank as high priority.
I do understand. I mean, especially when you say, because you kind of give it a context. He's got a mountain of reports on his desk or files on his desk, and they are murder and violent crimes. So by comparison, this is a soft crime because, you know, no one has been physically hurt or murdered or worse. So
that's right. Yeah, that's right. And also, you know, as I mentioned earlier, in previous years, it wasn't that much reported because one person will be caught, one person will be duped, kind of thing. But now it's becoming more prevalent. It's a very lucrative industry. And these guys running these syndicates, believe me, are well-organized syndicate criminals. They are dangerous people, and they are people knowing exactly what they are doing. And they target the vulnerable. That's what they do.
So it sounds, you know, I don't know what to say to you. I mean, it just sounds like you guys are going through a hectic time. 250 to 300,000 rand a day is a huge, colossal amount of money. And as you say, if there's no insurance, then you're just, as you mentioned, out of pocket 75,000 rand. And that's a lot of money to lose. So at least, you know, the website does provide some support and does unmask and uncover people who, you know, while they have already done some damage, at least that means they can't do any more damage. But it just seems a shame that this kind of, you know, economic opportunity gets kind of exploited like this in such a negative way. So thank you very much for taking the time. Thank you. I mean, because it is important. It is an economic issue. And to any of our listeners who know anything or need maybe to be part of your network, even if it's just in a supportive manner, they can go to www.containerfraud.co.za. Is that correct?
That's correct, yes.
Okay, brilliant. Thank you so much for coming on the show this morning, Kashif, and we wish you all the best further.
Thank you very much, Anna. Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye now.